Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it for
Beautiful in the
you.
sun.
I know.
We are. We're sitting by the water in the
How
sun.
do you say water? How do you make it
Water.
sound forever? Water. How do you guys say it?
Well, I didn't do an er
Whatever you
or
do.
any wrong. You give everyone your best Aussie accent. Go on. It's just beautiful, his interpretation.
Hello.
That's too Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
You normally do it pretty well.
Hello. Okay. I already was down to three sentences by the time hello got over with. Anyway, still don't know what a bogan is. Keep going here. All right, we got a mermaid. Everyone chime in. Everyone start now, Barry. The BBS radio shows. Thank you so much for the first few hours. Got a little tuckered out the last show. Thank you so much for being patient. Doing my best to get you some information. And yeah, I think I'm going to get interviewed this week. I might go for that one. That sounds fun. Please call in at 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We got the mermaid here chatting with us. But before we start, let's see who calls in. Let BBS populate their lines. Do you remember when I was able to play a song called Caravan? Does anybody remember that one? We're live, we assume. The fun we're having here, aren't we? PRQ is here. We missed an incredible intro by me, but why don't we move on to calls if I didn't stifle BBS as well. So a lot of times when we get the attention on us, it's usually just over the computers, so bear with us. But it is just a luxury to have the mermaid here with us and all of us collaborating at the same time. So please call in. The number again, BBS is 888. He has in Chad Rubin
Well,
in. Can't remember anything.
you said it before, so hopefully
You
people
think they'll
know
get
it.
it?
I don't know.
Okay.
If it comes up, we can repeat it.
Well, what do you, what would, you know, when we put this together, what did you want to get out of it? So you did so many interviews, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people with PRQ, Project View of Q. Please call in everyone and anyone. What did you want to get out of it? Like, was it fun to talk to the healers and so forth?
All of them for different reasons, for sure. They're all interesting and beautiful just to hear people
This
and
is a
their
radio show.
passions.
This is a radio show.
Yeah. So it would seem.
Can you dance or like it's radio? You think they heard our song I sang? Because that 3 minutes is a long time.
Don't know. It's hard to say when it cut out.
Yeah, it's
Anyway.
we're here for calls. Anybody want to call and chat with the mermaid and I, go ahead. We have no other agenda today other than when I go through the lyrics with Caravan Rush, what we did is we got a great song that says talks about in a world lit only by fire, who cares? I can't stop thinking big. And so the more projects we have, the more we can network and do it in an organic fashion that educates the people who want to help us too. So globally, we're being monitored and looked at as way shores. If you get any calls, BBS, I'll take the calls. Anyway, as way shores, it is a great responsibility to keep thinking big, is my assessment. And I feel you all would feel the same way. It's an interesting song because the to the distant dream of the city, we all want to go to the big game, and maybe the big game is the small game. But in that song, carry through the night in the city where, excuse me, I got the wrong one. There is a sneaky little passage in there that Neil Peart wrote, and it goes like this: the caravan thunders onward, stars winking through the canvas hood. The caravan thunders onward. On my way at last, on my way at last. Now, what if when you look up in the sky, that those were just holes in a canvas. Would anybody buy that one? I don't know. We have a bunch of calls coming in, so I'll just bear with you. So we have a special individual we work with who one day ran outside and said, look, those are all the broken ships up there. Look at all the broken ships. And everybody thinks they're stars. And that special individual reminded me of, you know, how it works. And yeah, that individual was right. All right, we're going to take
it. Why were they broken ships?
Trying to get in.
Explain that.
They're trying to get in and they're stuck.
They're just stuck, in other words.
Yeah, they can't quite get in. That's part of the mesh network that stops from getting in. So they're not really stuck, they're stalled. Mm. But they still want to come in, and some of us are from those ships. And of course, that's why the Galactic Federation councils, whatever, has so much presence here. Mm-hmm. All right, got a caller's list. Thank you. No problem for the delay, BBS. You're my world. Judy from Pennsylvania, will we live forever with no physical death? Judy, are you there?
That's I am. Hello.
Hey, Judy. Hello. Say hello to the mermaid.
Hi. I love both of you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, since I've been kind of awake, you know, that term everybody's using, and I found out that we've been lied to our whole lives and nothing is what it seems to be. I've been reading from several truthers that there is a shift happening, and like this ascension, this 2,000-year ascension, that this will be it, and then there'll be no more physical death, and then with our loved ones coming back as they were. And, you know, what we were taught, that's kind of what we were taught, you know, being Catholics and being into the religion. So is it true that it will happen and we will see our loved ones again?
Right. So thank you for the question. Great question. Do you want to answer first or you want me to?
I just wanted to clarify. So was the question, or was the thing that you had heard or read saying there won't be physical deaths after the ascension, like everyone will stay in their physical bodies eternally, or what is the, just so I understand the question better, then we can speak better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I've been reading. That's what I'm understanding from what I've read.
Okay, so.
And that the loved ones will take their old physical form and come back?
Yes. And that we'll recognize them. They'll kind of be as they were.
Okay. Really fun question. So for me, I recognize all of you in bodies. So I see you as an identity in a physical body. So much of what you're saying contradicts the statement, because you live forever anyway. Do you live in this body forever? Is a choice. And most likely you would not choose that because of your spontaneity, because you're going to be so excited. You'll just go, imagine if you had a billion choices. So in most cases, what you're going to find, now I do not want to create absolutes, and I say it a lot, but if you only live 85.3 years in this body, you probably don't want to stay in this body. Now, can I make my body live forever and I want to stay this identity? You probably would like a different identity. You might want to be a giraffe. You might want, not a great analogy, you might want to be, you're going to have so many choices. You might want to have blonde hair. So would that be the same body?
Good question.
I think once people are over the sort of the ascension, I don't know, like once we're all caught up and in a much higher frequency, I think definitely everyone's going to start living longer because we won't be so obsessed with time and lifespans and all that sort of stuff. And our genetics are changing as we, you know, become more enlightened. So we'll live longer. I think for me, it feels like a bit of misdirection saying that physical people that have died would reform and come back. It's more, that's like they're putting too much emphasis on the physical when none of this is about the physical. That's always been the trick here, to teach us, make us obsessed with our body we're in, and we grow up thinking this body is who we are. We don't actually realize the body's just a, you know,
just a conduit,
just a puppet for the spirit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so them focusing on that sounds like, again, they're just trying to get spiritual or newly awakened people or whatever a little bit confused and still focusing on the physical body as if that has more weight than the spirit, just because we can't yet see spirit. But when you get to a certain level, you can see spirit. And so as Q was saying, when he looks at an individual, he sees their spirit signature, who they truly are. He's not looking at their face going, oh, that's an attractive person with a nice eyes and lovely hair. He's like looking at who it actually is, because you can actually read the spirit, which everyone will get there as well.
Yeah, that's incredibly helpful for me. So we're going to recognize each other 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And
so loved ones that you have parted with, you will recognize again, but I wouldn't say it'd be in the same body.
That's right. So okay. normal mammals around the universe live about 1,000 years, go, that was fun, let's do something else. Or they'll mold and change as they grow and do something else. But certainly I'll do a popular one. The Pleiades as an example. The Palladians, it's quite common that half that civilization would eat this type of human, and they would create redundancies in their physical body. They'd have two hearts. They would be able to shut their heart down when they sleep, and that would enable them to stay at our dimensional reality, our frequency, so they could be dense like us.
Mm-hmm.
And they can live many hundreds of years and rebuild their bodies again and jump back in the same body. So don't negate the fact that that technology exists. You can recreate your body, no problem, and repopulate your body. You can do that. But would you choose that if you could do anything and everything?
Okay, yeah. I get it.
We'll leave it up to you.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for your time, and I'm so glad I found you all. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you. We'll always be here.
You're welcome. If you have any other questions, we're always here. But so exciting that it sounds like you're finding your way, and just it's such an exciting time. We're all growing so fast, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Great.
Have a great day.
Lots of love to you too. Bye.
Calls are getting so strong, aren't they?
I know. It's beautiful.
All right. Next one, Hawaii. Jewel, what's the highest experience? Jewel, the musician?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. No, I'm not a musician, but I love music. My question is concerning this highest excitement I had like a two-part question. My highest excitement has been on my organic farm, creating this. I have a vision for my farm of 23 years now as a healing lighthouse, just a nature place to be, a sustainable place. And I did a build it and they'll come. So I have a lot of homes and fruits and nuts and vegetables and a lot of work and a lot of weeds. And right now I have empty homes and buildings. But I'm feeling like I can no longer sustain this. It's been, my longing for my twin flame to show up and others that see this vision and will love the land and home as their own. But it's been really challenging. So it's like my highest excitement is sort of like also my worst nightmare at times, because I'm feeling like I'm not, you know, really manifesting it or allowing it or however that works. So I have a fear of giving it up because I've just worked so hard. And I also don't want to do that. I don't want to give it up. I feel like I'm almost there. And every time I get these people here, it's like, oh, yeah, that's going to be great. And then it just doesn't happen.
Would it be something you could consider to be able to not give it up, but just maybe get some help with it or something? Because I know lots of people that have that story. My mum was obsessed with her land as well and taking care of it, but it like overtook her as well. She spoke just like you. Like, I'm so tired of it. It's controlling my life, but I love it. I think finding balance within that, because you do love it and you know you'd probably be sad if you gave it up. I wonder if you could somehow, in whatever way worked for you, but find a balance, like you could have someone come help you on the farm and maybe you trade that for, you mentioned you had accommodation that was empty or something.
Mermaid, ask you a question.
I've been doing that for 15 years.
Okay.
So, Mermaid, here's my question. How do you do spiritual delegation? Twin flame's not in that statement, is it? No, it's not. So where does that come from? That's your real question. Like, I know my helper's out there. Mm. So how do I get my high? If I'm really well taught, where's this twin flame, number one? Number two, I want this absorption of love, compassion, and affection and just true richness in my life for every walk of my day. Yes. What is it that I would do differently as an example? What might be a suggestion? That's to you, caller. Sorry, Joel.
Uh-huh. that is a good question. I don't know where I'd be doing it.
So this isn't working is what you're saying, right? It's not working is what you're saying.
It's not working.
Okay. So are you sure you're in love with where you're at, or are you in love with the idea of where you're at? Not easy. Okay, not easy to be honest with yourself. I know. So I just can't wait to get back. Oh, God, I've got to get back home. I don't know. You pick. The islands are interesting.
Right.
They really take you over, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm in South Kona, which is like the, you know, it's root chakra, it's survival over here. So, and we've got the, you know, I mean, it's amazing. But I just run into so many like flaky people, you know, the guy that actually turned me on to you was my partner, lover. And when I left for a couple weeks to go to the mainland, he just completely ghosted, left. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, so that's my other question about the highest excitement. It's like, he said, this is his highest excitement. I was his highest excitement. But how does that change? Like, I mean, if your highest excitement is to have children and like you wake up one day and you go, I don't feel like feeding them, that's not really my highest excitement today, you know, but the children still need fed. So I'm wondering, I'm curious as
true
to
story.
Where you stand on what commitment or what is like responsibility, you know, like, or just like, I don't feel like it. It's not my highest excitement in this moment.
Sounds like contraceptive. You think contraceptives would work? No.
Well, they work for me. Yeah. Don't have that.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
you understand.
Mermaid's not at my humor today at all. she gave it right on the spoon. Okay. Now, it's really common and certainly I played with it a lot. I'm quite convinced homes have a level of nostalgia that you have to be careful of, because it's like a comfy shoe. It still fits. And by the way, it's a comfy shoe. Relationships are like that. You know, you got the shoe worn in. It's what you know. So if you can leave it, has always been my suggestion, and look back at it. And it's okay to let things fall apart and rebuild. It really is. And or leave entirely and give somebody else another shot and give it. It sounds flip, but what if you left for a month and let things fall apart? Maybe somebody can re-energize your inspiration, because what you've said is you're not really that inspired, but you're convincing yourself you're inspired is what I felt so far. Is that a fair statement without being too heavy-handed here?
Yeah, you're probably right, because I'm just sort of right now I actually have a broken wrist, and it's just hard for me to do.
You got to really start tallying all. You've got to start really tallying. I like I'm not a fan of people making a list of the past. But if you start looking at everything you want in the future, and you make a column of past and you don't love, as you've heard me say, a column of things you want to occur in the future, how you can actually start focusing more and more on those, and you say, well, I did that and it didn't work, is proof that you're not inspired. So I hope that helps a little bit, because you keep doing the same things potentially. These are questions for you. So if your list is not growing on the right side, that's your clue. You're probably using your ideas instead of your heart. And it's not to say you're not an incredible individual. It's just easy to get distracted by what you think needs to happen instead of what you know is going to happen. It's real tricky business. Don't think I'm exclusive to this. I know, instead of I think, it's real tough work. It's what I can do for you. You're strong. Okay. You're really strong. You're going to know the answer after today. So just interacting with the mermaid and the high, it'll get cleaner. You know, okay, wait a minute here.
Yeah, just you calling it is already clarifying things for me.
Yeah.
I definitely will.
I always wanted a broken wrist so I could wear a cool dress, though.
When you put it out there to the universe,
wanted what?
Like that, though, you'll get clarity.
A cool cast.
Yes.
The right. It.
Cool cast. Yeah, mine's bright pink. I really
I don't
love
think I
it.
Want to be, I don't think I want I think I want a broken. No.
Yeah. Excitement. I mean, that does. So, for the example of you still need to feed your children, right? How do you clarify that? Can you just a tiny bit about responsibility versus highest excitement? Oh, shoot, I can't hear you at all.
People I gave it to doubled the amount of work I got done just because they were it. And I had to look at myself.
I don't know if it's just me, but you're fading in and out. We can't really hear you. Or at least I can't.
Yeah. We're having some fun today.
Oh, dear.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, how am I now?
I can hear you now. You're great. Perfect.
Yeah, so I had to really check myself and say, am I really taking care here of this idea? You know, especially when you got properties that's been around quite a while and you have a lot of memories. My suggestion for me was, I'm just going to get away from this thing. I'm fine letting it fall apart and then come back to it and look around the rest of the realities I wanted to pursue. And sure enough, it told me a great story, and I had no problem leaving once I was honest with myself.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both. I appreciate and love
thank
you and
you.
Love you more every
thank
time.
You.
I'm listening to your older show. I'm loving you more every day. Aloha.
That's awesome.
Love you. Aloha. Mahalo.
Yeah. Enjoy Hawaii. I'm jealous. Have a beautiful day.
Mermaids. The raw oats. All right. Boy, sorry about all the disconnections, you guys. It's, you know, much better now. Don't have any callers, though, there, BBS, so I guess I have to start dancing again. It's not easy to see me dance on the radio, though. All right. He's on the ball. I'm way better than Don. This dude's going to work out. Zoe from Nevada, encountering wildlife in the forest. Zoe, you got Zoe, like from the Cosby Show?
Nope.
Is that you?
It's Shelly. It's not Zoe.
Darn it. BBS
Darn it.
Tricks
me. I know. I've called
making...
before. You know me.
I know who you are.
I know. So I'm having, first of all, I'm so thrilled that you took my call today and I get both of you. So this is pretty cool. But I'm having one of the most enlightening days ever. I'm listening to all your shows today, and I started off with the Homestead Show, and the only thing I'm thinking about is this large chunk of property in the Sierra Nevada, because I live in South Reno, and so that's my backyard. And, you know, thinking about it, you know, taking notes and everything. And then the next show, you were talking about consciousness and how all of our consciousness is kind of pulling together. And, well, that's kind of cool, you know, through timelines. Then the next show, you're talking about the forest and the trees, which, like, this property is totally the forest and the trees. But it was just like one thing after another. It was kind of building to this big crescendo. But it made me think, because for 3.5 years, I've been out hiking in the forest every day. I mean, pretty much every day. Today I'm not. Well, I'm probably going to go out after this show. But I'm out in the wildlife, out in the trees. And when I get out there, I've learned to ask permission before I go in there. And it is, you're right, it's a completely different experience when I do that. And I get out there, and you don't think of anything. I mean, it's complete peace, and it's just wonderful. And sometimes I just want to come back. I just start hiking up, and I just go until maybe my knees or ankles or something are kind of starting to bother me. Then I'll turn around, and I'll walk back, and next thing I know, it's like, oh, it took like 20,000 steps. You know, it's kind of fun. But my question is, I've encountered a couple of bears before, and I'm sure I'm going to be encountering them again because I'm out there in their space. And every time I do, it kind of, they're so big and it kind of, you know, kind of takes your breath away a little bit. And I always hike with my Jack Russell, and I'm just hopeful that she's not going to start something with this bear. She hasn't so far, but there may be some encounter at some point in the future. If I'm walking through the forest and I'm asking permission to go out there and being part of the forest, does that bear understand that too? And do I have to really worry about being charged by the bear too much? Because everybody tells me you should take bear spray or you should pack a gun, but I don't want to shoot a bear and I don't want to spray the bear. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
we talk about that a lot, don't we?
We sure do.
We talk about how most people are scared to walk in the forest at night, and we love going at night more than anything, like dusk or as it's getting dark. And it seems,
yeah,
I don't know, a program from Disney cartoons and stuff to think forests are like scary, especially at night, you know, how they always show them in movies and cartoons. But it mm-hmm. is just incredible late. And most people it would be scared of what, you know, animals are out there. But we just never do for exactly what you've just said. Basically, you're completely right in how you feel. They're all conscious beings, and they're aware of you, your intentions, and you're like you asking for permission, and not that they know you're a good person. They're not going to hurt you.
Yeah. How many years have you been walking the forest?
About 3.5.
And how many bear attacks have you encountered?
Well, I haven't been attacked, but I've encountered 2 bears.
And
so it's not a lot, but
and they look in the eyes. They look in the eyes, don't they? Yeah. And then what?
Yeah. And then they just sort of continue foraging or doing whatever they're doing.
Do you know what they're doing?
Well, I don't know. I assume that they just looked at me and saw that I wasn't a threat. So they just kind of, you know, kept on, you know, looking for grubs or whatever they were doing. But
they're reading.
They
you.
Didn't.
They're reading
me.
Yeah, just like a dog would. Reaching goes, oh, that's a good person, that's a bad person.
They read consciousness. All animals read consciousness.
Now, the Jack Russell, on the other hand, I don't know.
I know. I don't, well, the first time with the bear, I was, you know, the bear was behind me, came up behind me, and my dog and I were just sort of walking down the trail the other way, and all of a sudden, this green branch that just, it was not an old branch that just fell off because an animal ran across it. Something broke it off and it fell behind me, and it had thick green pine cones on it that were heavy. And it almost hit me, but it made me turn around. And first thing I did was look up, and I thought there might be an animal up there that knocked this down, but I couldn't see anything. But it made me turn around to see the bear because I wouldn't have seen it. And it was maybe 20 feet behind me. It was pretty close. And I looked at it, and it looked at me, and I just turned around quietly and just ushered the Jack Russell down the road, or down the path. And, that was that encounter. And then another encounter, I walked up, and it was a bear was coming down the hill towards me. And It was like I was deep in there, and I, yeah.
Those are cool. Those are cool stories. I'll give you a quick answer. I'm going to move on to the next caller. Thank you, BBS Radio. Forgive me, I have to get through a few people here. So the short version is you talk to your dog off the air. Thank you for your call. Talk to the dog, and you can even show it videos. And you don't want the bear chasing the dog back to you. So the bears do like protecting their cubs. In the first place, when the dog walks ahead of you, where is it going to go? It's going to go right back to you. And then now you've got bear problems with that. You can talk to, obviously, all animals in the English language if your intentions are pure. So it's not wise to be reckless, though, when you're using your telepathy. So that's my encouragement. BBS, I'm going to skip one and do... I'm just going to skip one and come back to the line six. I want to go to line one first, if you don't mind, BBS. Susan from New York, question for the mermaid. What was her awakening process like? Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Q and Mermaid. I'm so happy to be with you both.
Oh, I'm going to pay for this one.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good. I'm so good. Thank you for taking my call. And I so hope it's okay to ask. It's been on my heart for such a while. And my head was telling me, don't call, don't call. So I had to call. So I'll just put it out there. I was really curious about your awakening. When did you know you were Ra? When did you know who you were? Was it after your ascension? Or did your expression here, was it a series of connecting the dots? Or were you sitting at the kitchen table one day and like, oh my gosh?
The answer could go on and on with tons of stories and anecdotes and information, but because there's so many different phases and it's never ending as well, so there's no real beginning or end. How do I answer it in a nutshell? I think over our lifespan we have like mini awakenings, and then things stifle us and stop us again, and then we kind of take it because we're following like society's norms of all the things we do as we grow up. You know, just all the milestones and this and that we sort of think we're supposed to do. And so you might have mini awakenings throughout that time, and then you kind of stall and you go back to Normieville a little bit. But, and depending on the person, I've always been somewhat aware, and everyone would know me as a free spirit, and I don't conform very easy and stuff like that. But I wasn't by any means awake to far more. It's always growing every day, it'll never stop. But I'd say the pinnacle has to be, I feel like 2020 was a really strong year, even though I started years before that. That year was really explosive because it was explosive for the whole planet. So in my opinion, obviously there's no absolutes to this information, but for me, 2020 was like a major explosion of people expanding their consciousness. It was just so exciting. And so I had some major things happen that year, huge changes within. It just was this blissful, euphoric, just so incredible. And then, of course, a few months into that year, I don't know if I should be doing timing and all that on here, but it doesn't really matter. But anyway, yeah, a huge pinnacle of it was meeting my twin flame, of course, as well. Kista here, and the knowing us connecting, we like have I guess codes for each other, almost like to trigger each other's remembering of who we are. We plan it that way, so whenever we get anywhere, we're going to help one or help the other, pump up the other's tires, so to speak. We've done it vice versa different ways. This time he definitely was helping me remember who I am, but just by hearing his voice and the resonance in the voice was enough for my own memories to come in. So it wasn't a matter of him telling me anything. It was a matter of me hearing his voice. You could just be singing or talking about anything. And that's bringing back all, I don't know, it's like it unlocks the codes within. It brings back all your memories and your knowing starts to pour in. So,
yeah, I take it for granted because I'm doing that with Susan right now. So I know who she is. And so that's probably one of my Achilles heel. I assume everybody has that ability, but it's part of the, if we like, the awakening process, like, hey, I remember you, is also stimulating us. And so the more, to not put words in your mouth, the more you were around more people stimulating, the more capacity you had for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing your groups,
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
So is that a fair statement? For the last 10 years was the biggest transition time. Even though as a child,
yeah.
you knew exactly what was going on and then lost it.
Mm,
it's pretty much the pattern I'm seeing as well.
I don't know if this is of interest to anyone, but it's. I think a lot of people can probably relate. I feel like the teen years and probably a lot of your 20s, at least the early 20s, I think we're just like most people are so lost because of, in my opinion, the systems we're put in. So we don't know who we are at all. In our childhood, we do. But then we lose it through the teen years and maybe your 20s. But then you get yourself in all sorts of trouble, like marriages and everything that comes with that. And then it seems this is the pattern I'm seeing a lot. And then people will start waking up, so to speak, through their marriage. And then they're like, oh, my God, now what? How do I free myself with all the...
One is the loneliest number.
When we're tied in with, and there's so many people involved and children and whatnot. But it's fun to look at, but it doesn't, I don't think there's a starting point and an end point. So it's not that easy to answer.
Susan, to ask and state at the same time, we have worked for years on making a roadmap and we realize there isn't one. And the advancements that the mermaid made, we know are exclusive to her, just like they are to you. So we're quite comfortable in stating that there is no rule book to getting more of you into you. That's where, is that a fair statement?
Yeah, once I was triggered in that year specifically was when the really big changes happened. I already had many changes for a decade before, but I would meditate every day for like minimum of 2 hours and it felt like 2 minutes every single day because all I wanted to do was find myself, like nothing could stop me and it was all just rushing in. So mine was quite intense. It was a really fun time though because you just feel like you're in this euphoric bliss and then it balances out a bit and then it gets quite tough because now where we're at, the things I see I would prefer not to see. I'm like, I wish I could stay in that happy phase of rainbows and unicorns and fairy floss. It's a little now it's trickier because now I see everything for what it really is.
There were a lot of, I will say for the mermaid, there were a lot of breadcrumbs she left herself here with other people.
For sure.
So
as did you.
Yeah, and so that it's not fair to say that would work for everybody, but now that we're here and got the breadcrumbs, we would expect ourselves to be the help. Does that make sense?
And it might be fun to tell people we've met each other in this life, in these bodies, or in different body. One of us will be in the same body and one in a different body. We've done that to each other numerous times in this life, trying to be together as well.
You still there, Susan?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's amazing.
Okay, so there's many times that I would recognize her and she dumped me for the football star or whatever. And there's many times she recognized me and I'd run off with the cheerleader. We have a lot of those stories. We couldn't believe that we didn't recognize each other, vice versa. And the times where we almost recognized each other, we can't believe we didn't.
Got in the way. Like once we were.
Commitments, past relationships, friendships, geography.
Geography, yeah.
Now we
once
know.
Once we were 14-year-old best friends and like instantly fell in love and then we both had to go back to the countries we were from. We met on vacation.
Yeah.
And we stayed in touch in like just young love, super innocent, but riding each other for a year or two. And then we recognize now in these bodies, we're like, oh my God, was that you? Of course it was. Oh, if only we could have made it work then and got together then in those. Yeah, anyway, it's endless. But yeah.
That's why you love my stepkids. They're my kids that you have to love. Just because they swear at you doesn't mean you don't love them to you. Yeah, never mind. It's not really a true story.
Not
I just thought it was funny. My kids don't live with me, so I don't like them. It's okay. All right, Susan, that was a great call. Sorry, I got to get on to other ones. I love questions like that. Please keep them coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you both so much.
Thank you. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, BBS, for working with Chatty Cathy here. All right. Oh, there's a Kentucky call. Did I get Sabrina from Hawaii yet? How to acquire beachfront, oceanfront property? Sabrina.
Yeah. Can you hear
me? Go for it. What do you got?
Oh my God, I've been prepping for this all of my life. I was born on the oceanfront here, and I love all this excitement, and I've been inquiring, asking into it. I would love, love, love to have a dolphin beach house oceanfront, McKenna, Maui, Waimanalo, Oahu, but it's mega, mega Black Rock, fancy entertainer, way over the top what we need. It's not the simple wooden. It's all been crazed out. But I still would love to anchor a place where I could share with the farmland homesteaders. I've done all that. I'm 76. My joints are displaced. I've been living for this moment. But it's like I'm really isolated. I don't even know how to find the people on my bandwidth that I couldn't even with my own hands steward the place. But I've got the energy, the passion, the vision. I would just love to have some assistance on how to ask into this further than I'm capable of at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and send you that information immediately. I'm going to, BBS, I'm going to take another call real quick, if you don't mind. I'm going to move on to, this is not to be disingenuous. It's just I got a couple other callers I want to help us with. So we have a team of individuals working on exactly your request, and I want to give it respect and appreciation. I can't speak for them yet, but your location is going to change very quickly and organically, and you will get the support you need, I guarantee.
Yeah, there is a team working on Hawaii. We can really assure you of that. So just know that good things will start to happen in the future with what's happened in Hawaii.
Okay, very good. I'm going to go to line three, BBS, if you don't mind. Robin from Michigan, questions on channeling. So sorry I had to cut you short there, Hawaii. I just want to get through a couple more today, if you don't mind. Robin, questions on channeling, please. You got something quick, if you don't mind?
Yes, real quick. You guys talked about books just recently, and then Mermaid also talked about how she thinks that they are helpful to us also. And, you know, I have mentioned on my show a few... Huh?
Thanks for starting a fight.
Sorry about that, but I have been reading the 64 gene keys, which I know are the DNA. I get that. But I recently had an issue where somebody didn't want to support me because I was reading that book. And I looked up the author to see, you know, who he was. And it says that he was a spiritual channeler. But the book's only 534 pages, okay? Which I think, Q, you said if it's over 600, that's way too many words. But isn't it how we perceive the information in the book? I mean, we're smart enough to know when information isn't correct or true to the heart versus stuff that we can learn from, correct?
Yeah. 12 words is too much. The best one to teach yourself about messaging like that would probably be the Course on Miracles. You know, CIA read it, and you cannot find a fault in it whatsoever. But it basically babbles the same thing over and over again.
The CIA wrote it, you mean?
That's correct.
So it has misdirection in that one.
But you can't sniff it out. It's almost like most of the Bibles. It's great. Awesomeness.
Focusing on using mind energy throughout
for sure.
Instead of your heart.
Figuring out things, looking for tricks.
But as far as the book goes, if you feel it's helping you and it feels good in your true core, which you're able to feel the difference, then it's good for you.
Yeah. So Robin is very astute. So we've talked several times now. Channeling as a rule is doing something outside themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you when you're at home? Okay.
Yeah.
No, she's very savvy.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to err on don't.
But when
there's someone as savvy as Robin, she could probably sort the information. No, I'm talking to a demon pretending to be a fairy godmother.
And
probably could.
Because sometimes it's pretty rare, but sometimes the channelers are really on point.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot.
Any day. You could have a great book by someone who channeled information.
Yep.
And then, you know, a year later they do another book and they're
Won't deny it. But if all the information is ours anyway, is where I'm going to say. So why aren't you receiving your true knowledge why would you rely on somebody else? I'm going to beat this one to death. Anything outside yourself.
Exactly.
I would prefer us all work on ourselves to sort information is where I would err.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you 100%.
And I know I love shortcuts, but this one is really tough for me.
No, but it's fine. I think it's fine to gain inspiration from anywhere if it's bringing memories back to you and expanding your knowledge and remembering. It's more like, it's not like learning something new, like someone's telling you something and you can't figure out if it's right or wrong. In that case, it's probably wrong. If you're gaining information from, it could even be a documentary, it doesn't even have to be a book, but if it's really singing to your heart, then it's your truth. It probably is true, because you wouldn't feel excitement and true inclination towards that topic. And if it's just a bit confusing, you're like, I don't know if I believe this or not, if this is a good person, they're probably not, if you have a bit of doubt.
I'll give you guys some inside scoop. The mermaid channeled through another being and then read the book In This Body. So we're going to have a hard time tonight. Because it did work.
Oh, you mean some point. I was on the other side coming
Correct.
Through to a person here. Right.
And we tested it out for the councils. Yeah. And it pains me to say that it did work.
And it so worked because she was really, really clean and advanced.
And it's a team. It was a team. Yeah, it was a very team effort. Yeah. But how can you fault exploring anyway?
BFFs forever out of here.
BFFs forever is not a spiritual term, is it? Okay. The, you know, just the endless exploration is where I would err too. You just,
yeah.
Come on, you're figuring stuff. What's wrong with exploring?
Yeah, absolutely. I second that.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
I truly appreciate that, clearing it up. And hey, did you clear your schedule for me yet?
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not in charge of my schedule. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I'm doing it.
Okay.
That's what I call duty.
All right. I'll be following up.
It's there. You got this one? You got that one?
All right.
It's Robin.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Moving on. Let's see if I thank you. Thank you so much, Robin. All right, let's see. Let's see what's up here. We got I'm gonna get kicked off here. I gotta hurry up. Okay, there's a cool one here. I'm gonna skip around a little bit, BBS. Thank you, Kentucky, for calling in. Healers, I'll get to you on the next show's healers. Lola from Baltimore, Maryland. In between worlds are the clearing out. Line 4, please, BBS. In between worlds are the clearing out. Please explain, Lola. You got about 5.5 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Mermaid. Hi, Q. Love you both. All right. All right. The in between worlds. That's are they clearing out? Because I try not to interfere. I try not to obliterate too many or liquefy too many. But there's something here clearing them out. Is this happening, or do you know of this? There's like some people here clearing them out, like getting rid of them. Are they do?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes.
Is that a yes? Okay.
Yep. So.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. I'll explain that on the other shows. Thank you, BBS. I'm going to try and get that last one if you don't mind. Okay. So it's not to be in. Disrespectful to you, that's a very valuable call, and I'm going to do a whole show on it. Yes, there's a tremendous support team. Rhonda from Kentucky, if we're at the end of the ascension cycle, what is the purpose of healers? Line 2.
Hi, Q. Hi, Mermaid.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes.
Well, the reason why I'm asking, if we're moving into such light and more enlightenment and people are feeling better and is the, I guess our frequency is changing. I was just wondering then, is there like a cleanup team, or would we just move in more into more enlightenment, living our highest expression? And then wouldn't that actually heal our body and us feeling better? And I'm a little bit confused on that. I would think so, but can you explain like what is our, like I'm not doing things like that anymore. But like what, and back in 2019 and 20, I had this whole project on a healing center, and now I don't believe that is even necessary anymore. So,
absolutely.
Anyway,
you're a breath of fresh air. I'm in love with all the healers, yet the more we endorse that you need healing sustains the healing issue. So when I started working with all the Reiki masters, I realized they were the biggest problem, because they took their day's events and installed it in other people with Reiki. And not to say everyone was doing it that way. Massage therapists were up there. And I was like, oh my gosh, everyone's getting abducted by the healers. So in most cases in the ascension cycle, this type of mammalian can do its own self-healing if it would be more attuned to what capability is, and that is to bring more light into your experience each and every day, and you should be able to self-heal. I don't think the mermaids ever see me sick, as an example. Not to say I'm special, I'm just saying I walk around people that are really sick, and they ask for healing from me, and I always do it. I can't help myself. But why would I be able to sustain healing when I'm around the sickest people in the world? So I have to study that and recognize that it's really about us growing our light inside our physical, in our representation of ourselves. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And if we're happy and eating good food and having good, clean births, and then we'd all our vibration, right? I mean, won't the earth sustain that, or wherever we're going?
No, that's great.
You have your memories back.
Yeah, I'll do my best to get yours too. Okay, great call. I'm going to move on. Thank you so much. Okay, so that is really important call for everybody to recognize that we are the ones to self-heal, as you can tell. And you just got to prove it to yourself over and over again. You've heard many people heal themselves on the way to the hospital on this show and so forth. And I thank the Mermaid for joining me today, and BBS Radio for helping us, and all the callers calling in. Excuse me. That was a nice move. You guys are incredible to me. Thank you for following us, and please keep coming in. It's a privilege. Thank you so much to be with you.
Thank you, everyone, for calling in. It always uplifts me so much to know there's so many people out there that are, you know, growing and expanding, and it just feels so good to hear from everyone. Thank you. So glad I was able to join today.
Love you all. See you next
Have
week.
A beautiful week. Bye, everyone.